Welcome to Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week, we're visited by filmmakers, actors, journalists, programmers, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. John Dieringer is the editor, publisher, and designer of Screen Slate, a web resource for listings and commentary of New York City repertory film and independent media. His let's just dive right in. Because yeah. You have such a varied John Dieringer. It's good to finally sit down face to face, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's been long overdue. I've just sort of really admired your commitment to independent film in New York, and also been very impressed by Screen Slate and also by all the other work you do.
Thanks. Yeah, likewise. I feel like you're have your hand in many different things, and it's great to be sitting down and finally talking.
Yeah, you are sure. One of the other things you've been you work with in various capacities, the Flaherty series. The Flaherty film series.
Right. I used to work there. More doing, I guess, my title is communications coordinator. But since then, I've stayed involved through different things, and most recently programmed the New York offshoot of the annual seminar, which is called Flaherty NYC.
NYC. That's right. Mm-hmm. It was fabulous this last go round. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We had good turnouts. I mean, we hit. It was. We strangely hit a lot of, sort of unforeseen events like the hurricane, and one night was scheduled on the debates, or the only night that we had this terrible snow. But I was surprised, like, people made it out to all the shows, and it was a lot of fun and good discussions. So,
you know, I've been doing this film series called Brooklyn Reconstructed, which the people have been coming out, you know, and we've been getting very good turnouts, I think. And the same goes for these My Brooklyn screenings we're doing at Rerun. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason, much like what you did with this recent season at the Flaherty NYC, is that it's a place for people to congregate and watch films that are important to them right now, the subject matter. And yeah, it's definitely a kind of a catalyst for getting together and sharing common concerns and anxieties. I think that's something that I've discovered just by doing this myself. Mm-hmm. And maybe you had that similar kind of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think any kind of discussion after watching a film really helps enrich the overall experience. And it's just good. It gives the life. It continues the life of the film, not only for the duration of the discussion, but I think it helps you develop ideas that, you know, as you continue to reflect on what you've seen, it really enhances that sense in the more like lingering, effervescent.
Lingering and effervescent. So before we even move forward, and I want to talk about, you know, your background a little bit and how you got to this point. But let's just say, since we already mentioned Screen Slate, let's mention that also you can go to the screenslate.com website and check out, it's a daily update of or calendar of film events going on every day. It's really ambitious and complete, very complete, and
thanks.
You know,
yeah.
and you can also subscribe, so every day you'll get Screen Slate's newsletter, which is pretty great. And I'm always checking for my events there. I always like get.
Yeah,
a little.
it's so difficult to keep track of everything. I mean, it's always obviously, you know, it's like, okay, MoMA's doing stuff every day, Anthology, Film Forum. But it's really important to me, and unfortunately, it's also sometimes difficult to keep track of the things that are going on outside of those spaces. Because I think, to me, that's what I would find most useful about a site like Screen Slate, and what I hope the readership enjoys is the things that might otherwise sort of fall off your radar if it's not like a daily thing, and you're not on the, you know, everyone's on probably like Film Forum and MoMA's email lists, but
it's very true.
But there's so many other things, and
it's an aggregate, I guess, right?
Yeah,
better way to put it.
So it's a daily aggregator, right. And I have difficulty too, sort of coming up with a quick, snappy summary of what it covers, because, you know, I think the majority of the content are things like repertory screenings, but it also covers sort of gallery shows, you know, contemporary, I guess, moving image based art material. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to have a catch-all term for all that. I guess maybe a way of simplifying it would just be to say moving image culture.
No, that does it. And also, it's good not to have to sort of be too rigid, because how does that help, really?
Right.
Anyway, being rigid. So how did this idea come to you, or maybe it snuck up on you?
Yeah, I think it was mostly out of necessity, really, because I had lived in other cities that had, you know, either they were small enough that it was easy to stay on top of everything, or Chicago has a thing called the Cinephile List, which is, it's a little bit more curated. It's maybe not completely comprehensive, but definitely covers, like, as the title implies, cinephile type things that people would be interested in. And there was a similar kind of aggregate in Los Angeles. So I've been living in New York for about 3.5 years and was just shocked that nothing really existed that seemed comprehensive to all that.
Well, that was my next question.
And and then in the meantime, sort of broadening my own understanding of what I appreciated about film and video, and realizing a lot of what I enjoyed was maybe existed outside of a traditional theatrical feature film type context, but in more of like a contemporary art type setting. So the idea then became not only to do something that was like a comprehensive listing resource, but also to, you know, sort of branch out more beyond, you know, 2-hour feature films from Hollywood's golden era, which I love. I mean, I had no internet experience. No, I didn't know anything about HTML or anything, and some basic, maybe Photoshop abilities. So I had a period of time. I had been working freelance in film production on, you know, more sort of mainstream type projects, and had some downtime. And I guess, you know, I'd been talking about wanting to do it enough, and people were sort of nudging me to do it enough that I just really sort of hibernated and tried to teach myself how to make websites. And in the meantime, I don't think I realized how much was actually going on. And it's become this task where I feel like I'm constantly, you know, sort of burying myself in the, like, you know, and there are so many new spaces opening, which is maybe like another interesting topic. But
sure,
yeah, it's in a really wonderful way, but also a very daunting way from my position. There's so much going on right now.
Donna Zimmerman is in the room, by the way.
Hi, Meredith.
Donna Meredith. I see. Donna Meredith is here too, by the way. Sort of in the background, she's waving, which is not visual, but I mean, not audio friendly, but we're speaking with John Dieringer, who is a web editor, a designer, right? A web editor and designer.
Yeah.
Because you're doing that for
graphic design.
Graphic design. Now you're working on Flaherty's. Like, you're their client now, Flaherty?
Yeah, because when I had worked there, they had you know, they hadn't changed their website in a long time. And
it was time.
It needed to, sort of come up to I guess.
Standards and conventions, current conventions.
I was able to do their website. So I do web work and graphic design, and because that's more what I've been doing previously in film production, was art department coordinating and graphic design and some other things.
And also, though, you're a programmer too, right? You do you do programming at the Spectacle Theater in Williamsburg, right?
Right. At the moment, I had been sort of taking a break while I was doing the Flaherty stuff at 92Y, and I've done things at other places like Union Docs, etc. But somehow I got, as a few other individuals have, sucked into basically making Spectacle, which is a small 27-seat theater in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, sort of sucked into making it like a second unpaid full-time job. It's an all-volunteer run community screening space.
Okay, I get it.
I mean, there's not really an owner. I mean, at the moment of there were, I think, 4 people who founded it, and none of them are around
actively
at the moment.
In,
so
is that true?
It is,
so
like self, it is self, kind of self-running at the moment. There's not really much of a hierarchy, but there's sort of, you know, four or five head programmers who are sort of just sort of keeping the place together, but a much broader circle of volunteers, probably, you know, 30 or 40, doing everything from running the booth to... we design original posters and cut original trailers for the stuff we show.
So if you're interested in... Oh, yeah, they're fun. They are. And so is the content. So is the programming at Spectacle. It's very singular. It has a lot of kind of lost treasures and certain themes that are after-hours, late-night type of midnight screenings.
Sure.
That, except they happen all the time.
Yeah, it's... Oh, that's another thing I should probably mention is it's does screening 7 days a week. So there's a lot of content, like usually two screenings a day, and then on the midnights, Friday and Saturday. Or sorry, the weekends, there's a midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think maybe like a catch-all term would be sort of alternative, or sometimes we say lost and forgotten, which has its own kind of issues. But everything from... you know, radical sort of polemics to obscure exploitation movies from no longer extant countries and stuff like that.
One could call it marginalized films.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So if somebody who's hearing this is interested, maybe there is an opportunity to do some work with Spectacle if you have a passion for exhibiting film.
For sure. I think, you know, always the best way is just to stop by because, you know, for one thing, it is it's a great social space as well. You know, I get such joy out of the work I do there just because of the people I meet sort of before and after the screenings and lingering around and talking to people. So it's great, you know, if people are interested, you know, I would say drop by, see some movies and just talk to whoever is behind the booth. And you can get involved everything from if you're an artist looking to do more work. I don't know. You know, you know, if you have a passion for film and, you know, you can express it by programming, cutting trailers, running the place, you can, it's great. It's pretty open.
Right. An open sort of culture there. Right. What's the website, Spectacle Theater?
It's, spectacletheater.com.
Very good. We'll also put links up on our archive page of the show for Screen Slate, for Spectacle Theater, for Flaherty NYC. What else? I know you've got at least half dozen
so
other.
The thing that's coming up.
You
don't know
when
you
must be cloning yourself.
But. I don't know when the show will be airing, but there's the New York Film and Video Council's Micro Cinema Summit, which is basically getting together for this particular event. It's people sort of running five different small screening spaces. So it's Light Industry, Microscope Gallery, Maisel Cinema, Spectacle, and Union Docs to have a panel discussion, but hopefully one that's, you know, evolves into more of an open discussion for, you know, on one hand, it's sort of getting everyone face to face in a room and exchanging ideas and really, I think, spotlighting the diversity of approaches that everyone takes to things, whether it's programming, the sort of style of management, involving volunteers,
the road
the level
ahead.
Of institutional affiliation, and exactly the road ahead. I mean, as you know, it's I think things, for instance, like the perceived, if not actual, death of film or the decline. I should really maybe not say death, but the sort of decline of accessibility of film and the increased difficulties related to its exhibition in a way, you know, creates opportunities for smaller spaces and new challenges as well. So I think those are all things that will be discussed. And hopefully, you know, if people are interested in either getting involved in an existing theater or starting their own space, this would be a really great way to sort of, you know, get different perspectives from people who have been involved at all different kinds of levels.
Right. So that's, again, it's a panel discussion on microcinema.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hosted by the New York Film and Video Council on Thursday, the 31st.
Yes.
And it's
at Union Docs
in Williamsburg.
And it's free for New York. It's at 7:30 p.m. And it's free for New York Film and Video Council members and $9 for general public.
It's less than the cost price of a movie ticket.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, if this kind of event appeals to you, you know, I would, you, the listener, I would definitely recommend checking out New York Film and Video Council's other events, because it's basically once a month the council mm-hmm. has been, for many, many years, decades, has been putting together events that explore the sort of, you know, in a way, sort of taking the pulse of the New York film community.
Right.
And it's a great way to meet people and be exposed to different ideas.
See, you really need to bring somebody from there. It's I know several of the sort of board members.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just joined the board recently as well.
Right.
A few months ago. Mm-hmm. So this is my first event as a New York Film and Video.
Oh, is it? Congratulations.
Or my first organizing event.
This is Adam Shartoff, host of FilmWax Radio, the independent film talk show, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30 on bboxradio.com. Well, we're speaking again with John Dieringer, who is a gad about town here in New York. You mentioned earlier that... but where did you... You're from Ohio.
I'm originally from Ohio, right. And I went to school in Pittsburgh. And in Pittsburgh, there's, you know, sort of limited enough activity. Like, really, mm-hmm. really great stuff going on all the time. But it wasn't so daunting that I felt the need for some kind of resource to keep track of everything. And then, fortunately, mm-hmm. Chicago... there was one called Cinephile that I used regularly, and that was actually just in Chicago, and felt really fortunate to mm-hmm. to have that resource.
So you're really from Frank Lloyd Wright country?
Sort of, yeah, yeah. I mean, there were Frank Lloyd Wright houses in Canton, Ohio, which is my hometown, and then
Donna's from Cincinnati.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, great. I know a lot of great Ohio people here in New York, all very quality people.
Do you know Brandon Harris?
I know Brandon a little bit.
Cincinnati native
as well.
And he's a former, and he's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah. And his film Red Legs is set there.
So. I showed it as far as part of the film wax film mm-hmm. series. Yeah, at one point. Brandon is, where are you? He's been missing. He's MIA. I haven't seen him in ages. He needs to come back. I was also thinking, you said you were went to school at Pittsburgh. Were you at
University of Pittsburgh. Yeah.
University of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. okay. Because I know that Falling Water is right there. I'm a little bit obsessed with his houses. Mm-hmm. I went there once. I drove like 500 miles out of my way just to go to Falling Water.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was worth it for sure. Mm-hmm. So you have staunchly Midwestern background, like...
I mean, between, I guess, Ohio and Pittsburgh would maybe not consider itself the Midwest,
but it kind of is. Yeah. Where is that?
Sort of a weird thing. Well, it's all the way in western Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
What is
it considered?
Oh, in terms of...
It's in the nether regions.
That's what's sort of weird about it, because I think it's, you know, it's very, very different city than Philadelphia, but it's not far from Cleveland. It's like a, you know, hour and a half drive. From Cleveland.
Yeah, which is definitely considered Midwest, like the Great Lakes area, mm-hmm. you know. Pittsburgh is it's industrial America. I don't know how to describe it otherwise.
It's also, I think, reinvented itself in recent years. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it weathered the recession, or has been weathering the recession much more gracefully than a lot of other cities. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with the... technology industry there, and Carnegie Mellon, and the research they do, and
Mm-hmm. So maybe we should be opening a microcinema in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
what are we doing here?
Well, that would be great. I mean, it would be great. Maybe this microcinema summit Thursday, we can record it or broadcast it, because
you definitely
should. It would be amazing, I think, to have a network of smaller cinemas that can mm-hmm. all sort of. Trade information about, you know, sort of programming, mm-hmm. clearing rights, sharing prints, sharing expertise.
Donna, maybe this is something, if they were to capture it, maybe we could, it could even be one of my, episodes or something, but it's a conversation about, you know, microcinema here in Brooklyn and New York, and I don't know, it could be interesting. I saw a mutual friend last night, Nick Shimkin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nick's great. He's another... guy about town.
Someone who's
many things,
juggling many sort of balls of cinema. Cinematic balls in the air. We were did a thing at a film independent screening last night, moderating
okay
the Q&A Moonrise Kingdom, actually. Wow. It's member only, so it probably wouldn't make it under your slate. But and Nick came, I invited Nick to come out because he wanted to see it. And afterwards, we went to get a hot chocolate, a much needed hot chocolate on a very cold winter night.
I heard there's a
night.
Place near here that has really good hot chocolate.
Oh,
Jacques Torres.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, Jacques Torres, of course. Jacques Torres is internationally famous chocolatier.
I had no idea
is that
until
the way
I
say chocolatier?
Told someone I was coming to Dumbo.
They said, yeah.
Yeah.
Should do that. Maybe, we, you know, by plugging it, maybe we can get them to advertise. anyway, so and we were just talking about, Nick and I were talking about just that. Like, he feels that it's the idea, like, he would love the idea of opening a micro cinema that works in some style, but it's just hard to imagine it, how to do something like that now in, let's say, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could only see it with the flexibility of being partly kind of like the Union Docks model, where it's like one-offs with very engaging, very focused on the conversation,
right?
Which is something I try to do as much as possible myself, but it doesn't always work out that way. And then also maybe occasionally doing theatricals. Rerun sort of doing that a little bit, trying to figure that out right now with IFP. Yeah. But, you know, whatever's right for that particular film. And, you know, there's some films that just, it doesn't make sense to do a theatrical maybe, just or at the moment or whatever, for whatever reasons. But
it's great. I mean, it's great that Rerun's able to give, you know, has that leeway that if they feel passionately about a film or you feel passionately, that you can, you know, arrange a run of a film. Because for, you know, as I think a lot of filmmakers know, that's what can really propel you forward, having that run in New York and
that New York Times review. But it's hard too, because it's a single screen venue, you're locked in, and if it does really well, you have to end it regardless, because you know, you've got maybe obligations to other films already lined up and maybe already promoted to some degree. So there's not a lot of screens where there's like that. And if a Alamo Draft House, I know there's one coming to Brooklyn in the next year or so, and one coming to the Upper West Side. Yeah.
In the greater New York area, multiple. Yeah.
The one is one in Brooklyn is going to be on the space of the former DeKalb Market.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I'm not 100% sure of that, but that's what I've heard, that's where it's going to go. But they're not going to play. I doubt they're going to dedicate any rooms to undistributed.
You know, I was talking to a friend last night, two friends, one the director and the other producer of a film that was part of IFP recently, the past year, and it's such a strange movie, and I think they've been having trouble getting it into festivals because. I don't know. It's like,
which is the film?
It's called Go Down Death.
Yes.
It's Aaron Schimberg and Vanessa McDonald who created it. And totally unique film that I am fully confident has an audience, but I also completely understand why
is
no one's programming.
Shot black and white?
Yeah, it's black and white, 16mm. They had sort of created a...
Is it like experimental?
Somewhat. On, yeah. It is. I mean, it is like a narrative film, but
they
very
submitted to Tribeca.
Narrative.
I watched it. Okay. I watched it. Yeah, I think they submitted it to Tribeca Film
Festival.
I got that copy.
Yeah. Okay. So, they've been tweaking it, but
I'm sure. I think we have to wind it down. Dash into Manhattan in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So normally I would just continue, but today my guest has been John Dieringer, who, as you can tell, is keeping quite busy with his obligations and his commitments to such organizations as the New York Film and Video Council, which is having an event next Thursday, which is having an event on Thursday at Union Docks. He's also the publisher of Screen Slate, which is a daily aggregator of all things film, independent and other things here in New York, and you should subscribe to that first opportunity. Thanks for coming on
having me. I feel like this has been a long time
coming. It totally has.
So, and I'm sure it's one of those things too where, you know, once that initial meeting is broken, that, you know, all the time
it seems to be the phenomenon, right, where all of a sudden you just start seeing each other all the time. And I look forward to seeing you definitely, and maybe more importantly, I hope that you also you know, just come back and sit in and just chat about what we're talking about mm-hmm. on a regular basis. I think that would be great fit.
That would be for sure. Yeah.
You know,
I know we've been talking about it for a while, and I've had crazy last probably month or two, but
understood.
Hopefully things are steady.
All right. I'll go with that. Again, thanks, John Dieringer. This has been Adam Chartoff here on FilmWax Radio here in Dumbo on bboxradio.com. Thanks very much.
Somebody's dead tonight. I feel so